यूनिट 133, द 100 डेज रिफॉर्म, पेज 27, स्ट्रक्चर 133.0, ऑब्जेक्टिव्स 133.1, इंट्रोडक्शन 133.2, कॉजेस एंड बैकग्राउंड 133.3, इफेक्ट्स ऑफ द साइनो जापानीज वॉर, ब्रैकेट स्टार्ट 1894-95, ब्रैकेट क्लोज 133.4, पॉलिटिकल स्ट्रगल विद इन द कोर्ट 133.5, मोटिव्स एंड कंटेंट्स 133.6, रिजल्ट्स ऑफ रिफॉर्म मूवमेंट 133.7, रीजंस फॉर द फेलियर ऑफ रिफॉर्म्स 133.8, लेट अस सम अप 133.9, आंसर्स टू चेक योर प्रोग्रेस 133.10, बुक्स फॉर फर्दर रीडिंग पेज 28, 133.0, ऑब्जेक्टिव्स इन दिस यूनिट वील स्टडी दैट चाइना हैड बीन ह्यूमिलेटेड बाय द वेस्टर्न पावर्स क्वाइट सम टाइम बोथ इकोनॉमिकली एंड पॉलिटिकली चाइना वॉज नाउ अंडर द ग्रिप ऑफ दीज पावर्स बट देयर वर स्ट्रॉन्ग सेक्शंस ऑफ सोसाइटी इन चाइना विच बिलीव्ड दैट अनलेस फार रीचिंग रिफॉर्म्स वर इंट्रोड्यूस्ड इन द कंट्री नेशन कुड नॉट प्रोग्रेस एंड फेस द वेस्टर्न पावर्स फर्दर We learned that the Sino-Japanese War made it clear to some of the far-seeking Chinese that if China was to maintain her political independence, she must put her house in order, eliminate corruption and inefficiency in her administration and take over some feature of Western civilization. In this unit, we also studied that one after the other, Chinese army were defeated, and she was obliged to sign many unequal treaties with all the great European powers. She had to give many concessions to these powers, and at this stage, partition of the country was the only solution to the problems of China. It was in this tense atmosphere that a section of society demanded that reforms should be introduced in the country. We learnt further in this unit that the emperor announced the need for reform by a decree of 11th June 1898. This reform movement lasted till September 16, 1898, which is called the 100 Days Reforms. 133.1 Introduction. From June 11 to September 16, 1898 was a span of about 100 days reforms. The reform movement exposed itself to be such a willing agency for establishing the tottering reaction because the atmosphere was heavily charged with a spirit of mass revolt. The years from 1894 to 1898 may be considered as the initial stage of the reform movement in China. In this movement, many leaders took active part. Among them, Dr. Sun Yat-sen and Kang Yu-wei were important. Circumstances in 1894 were more suitable for Kang than for Sun because this was a period ready rather for reform than for active revolution. Kang's stand was accepted and supported by many. It was certainly easier for Kang to secure leadership of the reform movement than for Sun because the entire nation was in need for change. The condition of China was worst. So in the spring of 1898, the question of reform as presented in the memorials of Kang and others touched the imagination of a few progressive officials at the Peking court and more important of the Kuangsu emperor himself, the nephew of Su Hizi, the emperor's dowager. Frightened by the tidings of disaster and emboldened by the urgings of reformers, the emperor announced the need for reform by a decree of 11th June 1898. Kang Yu-wei, Liang Chi-chao and others were appointed to advise the sovereign on the proposed reforms, and Kang was allowed to submit memorials directly to the throne. The result was an unparalleled flood of ill-devised reform decrees known as the 100 Days of Reform. The 100 Days Reform concluded with the abdication of the Emperor Quang Sui, the flight of Kang Yu Wei, and the execution of 6 leaders of the reform movement. The Boxer Uprising followed immediately was found that the fire adroitly stolen from the guns of the reform movement was inadequate to hit the mark. The old order was irreparably shaken. 133.2 Causes and Background. During the self-strengthening period, bracket start, 1862 to 1894, bracket close, China developed Western techniques and military technologies. Yet, several more progressive officials like Feng Kui Fen already argued for real self-strengthening. China should develop basic Western institutions, bracket start, like government organization and education, bracket close. Such an advocacy formed an underlying cause for the 1898 reform. Ever since 1885, when China was defeated by France in Indochina, more and more scholar officials knew the self-strengthening movement was inadequate to save China. Wang Tung-ho, bracket start, an imperial teacher, bracket close, himself had advocated war against Japan in 1894. But with China's defeat, he realized that changes more fundamental than those of the self-strengthening period was necessary. Page 30. Besides preaching the religion, foreign missionaries, especially the British and American Protestants, introduced Western knowledge and culture to China. They established schools, gave public lectures, opened libraries, and published newspapers and magazines. In particular, missionary schools educated many of the late China's reform-minded intellectuals. By 1889, some 16,000 Chinese had studied in such schools. Through discussions, foreign missionaries convinced quite a number of Chinese scholars and officials for the need of reform. Indeed, Kang Yu Wei, the most important reformer in the 1898 reform, admitted that many of his ideas on reform came from missionaries. From Treaty Port's Western social and political ideas were most easily learnt by the Chinese who lived in treaty ports and cities. In treaty ports, a new Chinese intellectual class began to appear. The Chinese intellectuals had the opportunity of observing Western institutions firsthand and the freedom to learn foreign things. They convinced other Chinese scholars outside the treaty ports of the need for institutional reform. Progressive-minded young scholars were also responsible for reform movement. Translation of Western books on a variety of subjects were abundant in the late 19th century China. They were read by many young Chinese scholars who therefore became increasingly reform-minded. The improved communications between different places helped in the growth and spread of national consciousness among Chinese scholars. Traditionally speaking, the scholar class in China had the responsibility of saving the country in the time of crisis. With the repeated national humiliation that China suffered after 1840, the young scholars became especially sensitive to national problems and were ready to defend their country. By the late 1880s, this generation of progressively minded young scholars had already become a considerable political force. Page 31. 133.3 The Effects of the Sino-Japanese War. bracket start, 1894 to 1895, bracket close. China's quick defeat in the Sino-Japanese War further convinced many Chinese scholar officials that more fundamental reform was both urgent and necessary. The humiliating Treaty of Shimonoseki in 1895 aroused much public anger in China. Some 600 young students from all over China signed a 10,000 words memorial that rejected the Shimonoseki agreement and advocated institutional reform. The leader was Kang Youwei. Despite the official and traditional prohibition against any political grouping, young scholars began to form association known as Such Hui, bracket start, study society, bracket close, to save the country. After 1895, many patriotic of this kind appeared their local branches spread over provinces. This society had five aims. 1. To urge the Chinese government to reform its institutions. 2. To carry out reform activities in the provinces. 3. To popularize Western ideas by translating more Western and Japanese books and publishing newspapers to advocate such ideas. 4. The fight against Christianity by changing Confucianism into a state religion. Social programs were to be worked out to complete with the social welfare measures of Christianity in China. Many of these societies had the support of influential officials like Yuan Shikai and Chiang Chi-tung. The younger and idealistic scholars like Kang Youwei, however, were dissatisfied with the limited and moderate reforms carried out by Yuan and Chiang in the provinces. These idealistic scholars favored broader and deeper institutional changes initiated from Peking. 5. Foreign imperialism was intensified in the scramble for concessions. It further showed the necessity and urgency of institutional reform. By 1898, Germany had seized Kia Chau from China, and other powers were fighting for their own sphere of influences. Page 32. Kang Youwei repeatedly wrote memorials to the Chinese court to advocate institutional reform. Many such reform proposals were circulated in Peking among the young scholars. 133.4. The political struggle within the court. Meanwhile, a political struggle took place between the Kuang Su emperor and his aunt, the empress Dowager Suhis, within the king court. Although Kuang Su was the emperor, real power was held by Su Zi. A northern group of conservatives like Su Tiang supported the emperor. Although both agreed on the need for reform, the two groups struggled for the leadership. The Northern Party attempted to bring Chiang Chi-tung to Peking to lead the movement. This led the Southern Party to call many reform-minded young scholars, including Kang Youwei, to support itself. There were the following reasons. First, since Kang Youwei advocated political centralization, reforms undertaken by him would strengthen the emperor's power and weaken the empress dowager's influence. Second, young scholars would not readily challenge the leadership of the more senior officials in the Southern Party. Third, Wen Tungho was himself attracted by Kang Youwei's progressive reform proposals. 4. Members of the Southern Party, like Wen Tungho, knew little about Western ideas and institutions. Page 33. Consequently, Wen Tungho introduced Kang to the Emperor Kuang Su. The emperor began reading Feng Kuifeng's ideas of institutional reform and Western translations as early as the late 1880s. The emperor was deeply impressed by Kang's reform ideas and was more determined to put into effect institutional changes. Dissatisfied with the empress dowager's continued domination over the king's court, Kuang Su intended to make use of a reform movement led by himself to regain power. Dissatisfied with the empress dowager's continued domination over the king's court, Kuang Su intended to make use of a reform movement led by himself to regain power, though on the other hand he really wanted to save China. On June 11, 1898, he issued the first reform decree telling the people to learn foreign language. The 100 days reform had begun. 133.5 Motives and Contents. Motives. The emperor and the young reformers like Kang Youwei believed that institutional reform and more fundamental changes would strengthen China's defense against Western imperialism. Institutional reform was of two kinds. A. A new educational structure would replace the old, traditional one so that the people would become modern citizens of a modern nation like Meiji Japan. B. The political system would be reorganized to achieve the greater degree of efficiency. Kang Youwei, however, expected more changes. He intended to establish a constitutional and parliamentary government for China. All other reform measures to Kang were secondary to political modernization. To old scholar officials like Wang Tung-ho, the reform movement was also part of the struggle for power within the court. Although most of the young scholar reformers advocated reform out of patriotic reasons, it could not be denied that the reform movement was an opportunity for these young men to advance to positions of power in the government. Page 34. Contents. From June to September 1898, Kang Youwei and his young followers prepared many edicts and decrees for the emperor to sign. Some 200 or so reform decrees were issued in quick succession. A broad program for reform of institutions was attempted. The reform measures included the following. Abolition. A. Abolition of the eight-legged essay in the civil service examination. Introduction of a new syllabus based on current political and economic problems. B. Abolition of swordsmanship and marksmanship in the military examinations. Introduction of a new syllabus based on knowledge of modern military tactics. C. Opening of a special examination on political economy. D. Establishment of an imperial university in Peking. Founding of a medical school under it. E. Establishment of primary and secondary schools in the provinces for the study of both Chinese and Western subjects. Change of traditional private schools into modern government schools. Change of Buddhist temples into public schools. In government administration, various reforms were made. The following were the main reforms. First, abolition of insecure posts and unnecessary offices, including the governorships of a few provinces. Second, appointment of progressive-minded officials in government. Third, introduction of stricter disciplines for civil servants measured to check corruption. Fourth, improvement in administrative efficiency by removing delays and by developing a new simplified administrative procedure. Creation of 12 new ministries to replace the old 6 boards. Fifth, encouragement of reform suggestions from private citizens. Military reform was also introduced under the following lines. 1. Reorganization and modernization of the army. 2. Founding of militia forces, part-time soldiers for local self-defense, Three. Army experts were to be imported to train army on Western line. In economic field, too many reforms were to be made. Railway construction was promoted. Promotion of agricultural, industrial and commercial developments were made. Banks were founded. Inventions and explorations were encouraged. Visits to foreign countries by high officials and students were made their part of work. Law codes were simplified. 133.6 Results of the reform movement. The reform movement only lasted for 103 days. The following are the important results of the reform movement. First, most of the reform decrees were not carried out. Only in the province of Hunan, where there was a governor sympathetic to the reform, was a serious attempt made to put into effect the emperor's decrees. In the rest of the empire, reform measures met with either passive non-cooperation or outright resistance. Some officials were willing, but had not the ability to carry out the reform. Many officials did not even understand the reform measures. Page 36. 2. At first, the Empress Dowager and other high officials like Chang Chi-Tung and Wang Tung-ho were not opposed to the idea of reform. But as conservatives, they disliked the radical changes proposed by Kang and the Emperor opposition to reform grew. Third, many top conservative officials, eunuchs and manzus begged the Empress Dowager to take over power and rule herself so as to stop the reform movement. Fourth, the young reformers feared that the Empress Dowager would sooner or later interfere and depose the Emperor. They therefore planned to carry out a palace revolt by capturing the Empress. They asked Yuan Shikai to support them with troops. However, Yuan betrayed the Emperor and the reformers by telling the Empress Dowager everything about the intended revolt. Fifth, the Empress Dowager immediately imprisoned the Emperor, took over the government, and gave orders to arrest the reformers, six of whom were captured and killed. Kang Yue-wei and Liang Qichao were, however, wanted in time to escape abroad. Most of the reform measures were cancelled. Sixth, study societies were prohibited. The government press was closed. The people were forbidden to make suggestions to the government. However, the Peking Imperial University and some of the provincial schools that had been established were allowed to remain. Some unnecessary officers were rarely abolished. The Empress Dowager opposed only the radical methods and nature of reform by men like Kang Yue-wei, not the idea of reform itself. 133.7 Reasons for the failure of 100 days reform. The reform started with great vigor. The reformists were in a position to go near the emperor. The empress also did not intervene much in royal affairs. The ground was there. The edicts were issued, but still, the reform movement failed. The following are the main reasons for the failure of the 100 days reform. First, conservatives felt that the political tradition of the dynasty had been violated by the reforms. They felt that Kang and his followers intended to destroy Chinese culture. Second, the Empress Dowager and her followers believed that the reform was just an excuse used by the Emperor Kang Yue-wei to struggle for political power. Third, the abolition of the eight-legged essay, together with changes in the educational system, ruined the future of students who had been preparing for the traditional government examinations. Fourth, the abolition of insecure posts and governorships ruined the future of many officials. The appointment of young, new and progressive-minded scholars to the government endangered the political career of many existing officials. When promotion was not based on seniority but on real ability, the old and inefficient officials felt that their career prospect would be endangered. Even Lee Hung Chang lost some important power because of the administrative changes. Quite a number of conservative Manchu officials had been dismissed from the central government. Fifth, the attack on corruption was unwelcomed by those officials who got rich by this unlawful practice. Palace eunuchs who were favored by Zhu Xi feared that administrative reforms would reveal their practice of corruption. 6. The change of Buddhist temples into public schools angered the Buddhist monks and priests. 7. Ever since the Taiping Rebellion (1851–1864), the dynasty's political power had been decentralized. Peking's control over the provinces was getting weak and was on the decline. As a result, the central government's reform decrees did not receive much attention in the provinces. 8. Both Kang Youwei and Liang Qichao had no previous experience in administration. Their knowledge of Western institutions was, moreover, limited in carrying out reforms. They were not tactful enough. In 3 months' time, they aimed at doing away with all of China's problem at one blow. It was an attempt at achieving too much in too short a period of time. 9. Both the emperor and the reformers offered poor leadership for the reform movement. They failed to obtain support and cooperation from the conservative officials. Conclusion: many of the reform measures were not actually practiced. But one could doubt whether they would succeed even if they were really put into practice. The 100 days reform was a sharp break with the gradual changes of the self-strengthening movement. The reform movement lacked effective power and experienced leadership. It invited all kinds of opposition. The movement gave an impression to the people that unless Manchu rulers were removed from the country, reforms could not be introduced. Similarly, Manchu rulers were clear now that if they wanted to remain on the throne, they must introduce reforms in the country as quickly as possible they could. It became clear to them that tide of reforms could not be checked for long. 133.8. Let us sum up. After going through this unit, you should be able to know the important event of the rule of the empress was a period of 100 days reform. The reforms were initiated by Kang Youwei of Kwantung province. In 1891, he founded New School of Learning and in 1893, Reform Society at Peking was set up. Reforms were introduced in educational, industrial, agricultural and many other fields. But the empress could successfully suppress the reformers. She imprisoned the king and took full powers in her own hands. Further, we learned that the Boxer Uprising followed immediately, was found that the fire, adroitly stolen from the guns of the reform movement, was inadequate to hit the mark. The old order was irreparably shaken. Further, we learned that the Boxer Uprising followed immediately. Page 40. 133.9. Answers to check your progress. 1. Answer the following in 3 lines each. First, Kuang Su. Second, Kang Youwei. Third, 10,000 words memorial. Fourth, Such Hui. Question 2. Answer the following questions in 15 or 20 lines each. First, write a note on the causes of the 100 days reform. Second, estimate the importance of the reform movement of 1898 in the history of China. Third, how do you account for the failure of the 100 days reform? Fourth, describe the role of Empress Dowager as a last champion of the old order in China. 133.10 Books for further reading. First, Bland and Backhouse. Title, China Under the Empress Dowager. 2. Author, Letourette. Title, The Far East. 3. Title, R.S. Gupta. 3. Author, R.S. Gupta. Title, History of Modern China. S. Mir Samiullah.